Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of our Christian year. Next Sunday, we begin again in Advent. As through the year, we track the birth, the life, the death, the teachings of Jesus, and it all culminates this day in Christ the King Sunday. And so we read from the 23rd chapter of Luke, the 33rd through the 43rd verses. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up, back in the olden days, before video games, before there was even much on television during the day except soap operas maybe, I remember my parents would send us out and tell us, find something to do. We were sort of on our own, right? We would often find a big old pile of dirt. And somebody would say, "Let's play King of the Hill." You ever play King of the Hill? Yeah, I had the scratches and bruises to prove that I did. We'd climb that dirt hill, we'd scramble to the top of it, and whoever got there first would say, "I'm King of the Hill." And then everybody else would spend the rest of the time trying to knock them off the top, trying to scramble or to pull them down. We all wanted to take over the kingdom. Each attack on the king was somewhat of an unspoken demand for proof, right? If you're king, then prove it. Prove that you're strong enough to keep the rest of us away. Defend yourself. Show us your power. Show us your strength. Save yourself. Defend your kingdom. Because if you don't do it, I'll take it for myself. It was a great game. We had a lot of fun with it. But there's a problem. You see, when kids grow up, sometimes they never stop playing the game. We become adults, and King of the Hill becomes a way of life. I got proof. One year, my daughters gave me this. It says, "Me queen, you not." And there was the tiara to go with it, right? I mean, you can't be queen of the hill without your own tiara. or dirt piles change. They become success. They become money. They become power and control. They become reputation or popularity. For some, those piles of dirt become our families, our children, or chasing that fairy tale of happily ever after. Others climb the dirt piles of having to be right or holy. Often our dirt piles become ways of thinking or politics or sports teams or social groups. Nations of the world and even churches have become King of the Hill playgrounds. There are all sorts of kingdoms of this world. Each one of us can probably name the dirt piles of our lives, the dirt piles on which we have played or continue to play King or Queen of the Hill. The adult version of this game is about filling our emptiness, fighting our fear, and ultimately establishing some kind of order and control over our lives. What became as a game for kids has become a reality. For many of us, life is a constant scramble to establish and maintain our little kingdoms, to convince ourselves as much as anybody else that we're okay, that we're enough, that we are the king or the queen. That's a hard way to live today. Today, Christ the King Sunday celebrates and reminds us that playing King of the Hill does not have to be the ultimate reality of our lives. Life can be different. We don't have to spend our lives trying to get to the top of a 3-foot dirt pile. We don't have to spend our lives trying to keep our balance on top of whatever it is that we believe to be the pinnacle. Christ the King invites us to stop playing the game. Life doesn't have to be. Life was never intended to be an ongoing game of King of the Hill. And if we choose to stop playing the game, it means we have to give up our kingdom. We can't celebrate Christ the King even as we continue climbing our way up that pile of dirt. We can have one or the other, but we can't have both. Today, just a few moments later in the service, we will pray, "Thy kingdom come." Oh, it just sort of rolls off our tongue with ease. We're so familiar with it. We don't even think about the words we're saying most of the time. But I wonder if we really realize what it is that we're asking for. And if we do we really mean it? Implicit in that prayer, in that request, "Thy kingdom come," is "my kingdom go." It's one thing to pray for God's kingdom to come. It's another thing for me to let my kingdom go. After all, we've been kings and queens of the hill for a very long time. Or at least we've convinced ourselves that we have. It's not easy to let go of our kingdoms, the kingdoms that we've built. And more often than not, I think we try to negotiate a deal with God. Okay, God, prove that you are King of the Hill. Prove it, and I promise I will step down. Show me evidence of your kingdom, and I will let go of mine. The leaders, the soldiers gathered there that day, one of the criminals, they all wanted the same thing. They wanted to see proof that Christ is the King. They want to see evidence of this kingdom. We all do. After all, if Jesus is really the King, the one who rules our lives, if we are supposed to believe that, then let him show us. Save yourself. They said, if you are the Messiah of God, save yourself. If you are King of the Jews, aren't you the Messiah? Then save yourself and me. At one level, I think at some time or another, we've all wanted Jesus to come down from that cross. We want to see him alive. We want to see those wounds disappear. We want to see a strong and healthy king, something spectacular, something that transcends the reality of the life that we live. But at a much deeper level, These demands, what we want to see, are more than just about Jesus saving himself from death, from pain, from defeat. At a deeper level, we too cry out, save yourself and us. Save yourself and us from our need to control. Save yourself and us from the fear that this little pile of dirt that I call my kingdom is all that there is to my life. Show me. But Jesus won't do it. At least Jesus won't do it the way we sometimes want Jesus to do it. Jesus will not offer us proof of his kingship. What he offers us instead is the kingdom itself. He invites us to share in his kingship, and that happens in the deep silence of love. The leaders are scoffing at Jesus, and Jesus responds with silence. The soldiers are mocking him, and Jesus responds with silence. One of the criminals derides him, and Jesus responds with silence. All of them are demanding proof that Jesus is who he says he is. And none of them are getting what they ask for. Jesus doesn't take himself or the criminals on either side of him off of the cross. He doesn't answer their leaders. He refuses to respond to the soldiers. Jesus is silent. And in that silence, the other criminal, the second criminal, begins to understand it's not about getting proof of Christ's kingship. It's about letting go of our own kingship. It's about coming down from our little piles of dirt and realizing that we already are, we always have been royal members of God's holy kingdom. Paul talked about a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's what we're part of. And this realization underlines the criminal's cry, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into the fullness of your kingdom. Remember me, not because I might have done or not done. Remember me in spite of all of those things. Remember me not because of who I am, but because of who you are. His cry to be remembered becomes the cry of one who has fully and completely emptied himself of everything. Of one who has let go of the last grain of sand in the kingdom of his dirt pile, whose very life and very existence are entrusted to the God who remembers. That's the reign of Christ. The reign of Christ doesn't mean that we now have all of the answers or that everything has been fixed, that there's no more pain, or that every problem has been eliminated. Jesus will not take us off of our crosses. Instead, he climbs up there with us. He doesn't so much fix our lives as he enters into the reality of our existence. We are remembered. And right there in the reality of our everyday life, whatever that may be, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our dying, in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our guilt, Christ the King says, truly, truly, you will be with me in paradise. And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Amen.